listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby G and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And we're delighted to have you with us. That was the Hot Texas Swing Band. They always open our show with a bit of Hot Texas, and we're delighted to have you with us, whether you're watching us live tonight, you're listening, you're on YouTube, you're on Facebook, or you're catching us down the way. We really are happy to have you with us tonight.
We are.
Who's our special guest?
Special guest, Dr. Barbara Kutuska-Haskin.
Here she is. Hello, Dr. Barb.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
We are so delighted to have you with us. We're going to be talking about How My Brain Works, A Guide to Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. And Jim has a little something to say about you before we get started.
A little bio, just a little bio. Dr. Barbara is a clinical neuropsychologist in private practice with over 30 years of experience. Among other degrees, she holds a doctorate in both psychology and neuropsychology. Dr. Barbara was born and raised in Warsaw, Poland. In 1989, she was awarded the American Association of University Women International Fellowship. She spent a year at UCLA's postdoctoral training program in neuropsychology. She later received a USA citizenship as an alien of exceptional abilities. An alien.
Of exceptional abilities.
That's the key. On the basis of her education, research, and neuropsychological and clinical achievements, Dr. Barbara contributes to the publication Psychology Today. On another note, she is also a classical trained mezzo-soprano and lives in Albuquerque, New York. We're neighbors.
Yeah, we're neighbors. Yeah, welcome, neighbor.
Welcome, Dr. Barb.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us. And we, of course, as we always do, we both read this book cover to cover. And I went back and highlighted things and made notes and wrote down some ingredients for some recipes that I know my brain absolutely needs. And I got 8 hours of sleep last night, the first probably 8 hours in, oh, I don't know, since 2009.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I am taking your suggestions in this great book right to heart.
Yeah, because, you know, I wrote this book for my patients mainly, and this is for general population. So everything is simple, you know, in difficult concepts. Right. Everything is simple, and everything is to help people take care of their brain and be able to function well to their last day of their life, because that's what we need. We all want. Anyway, so I want to say a little bit what I do. I am a neuropsychologist. A neuropsychologist is a brain functioning specialist. So I am evaluating how my patient's brain is functioning. Neuropsychology is basically a bridge between medicine and psychology. So that's why psychologists are a rare breed, because we have to have a knowledge from both sides. And we are seeing the patients are complicated cases. So we are a rare breed, but we are there. And in a community. And one of the reasons I wrote this book, actually what inspired me, was that a general population and also a lot of physicians don't really know that the services exist. And I and how they are helpful, not in here in Albuquerque, because I've been here for 30 years, so I educated most of them. And they were getting my reports, and they were very happy with that, so they know the value of it. Because the behavioral health specialists, they already, most of them already knows what we do and how this can be helpful in therapy or case management if they really know what the patients can do, what the patients cannot do. So mm-hmm. they are not walking in darkness. They have some knowledge that the, mm-hmm. the evaluation yeah. is providing. So frequently I was seeing a patients that they didn't have an idea that that there is a specialist that can evaluate brain functioning and give them pretty precise information where they are as opposed to they compare them to their age group. So that's very precise information. I can precisely say, okay, your verbal abilities are average for your age group, above average, superior, below average, how much below average? Mm-hmm. Also, other part of your brain, visual, spatial, attention, concentration, because we have one brain. Some stuff works well, some stuff may not work well, but if we know what is going on, if we know what works, what doesn't work, we can compensate. But we have to first know, I teach my patients where is a problem, there is a solution, mm-hmm. but we have to figure out where the problem is. And then mm-hmm. and then we can prepare a treatment plan and say, you know, there is a lot of ways you can help yourself if you know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the book. Again, I'm going to hold it up. How My Brain Works, A Guide to Understanding It, and Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. And it is written for our audience. It's written in very understandable terms. It's written in very layman terms. She really, Dr. Barbara really takes it down so that even if this is the first time you're reading about the most important thing we have going for us, our brains, you'll be able to understand and you'll be able to follow along. My first question for you is, what inspired you to delve into the subject of neuropsychology? What got your attention?
Well, I always was interested in brain because this is a miracle part of our body. Okay. And it's miracle and it's fascinating.
Yeah.
We know a lot and we still do not know a lot.
Yes.
And we are trying to right now the concept of consciousness, how this is, where does it sit in a brain? If this sits in a brain, I don't know. Maybe it sits in a soul. And where is the soul? Okay. So, so we are trying to study the, mind, body, connections, but it's, I used to be a brain researcher. So I came from, a really good background. I did my PhD in a Department of Neurophysiology. So I have a medical and physiological basis pretty good for the brain. So I was, I said it was always fascinating. It's fascinating. And my patients are fascinating because they are coming with problems and you hardly ever have a casebook case. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have the handbook case. Every case is different, requires you to do research and do a lot of thinking. So it's still, it's very difficult, but very rewarding.
Rewarding. We are going to take a very quick break. And when we come back during this break, you'll learn one of the places you can get this fabulous book. And when we come back, we are going to find out more about the first part of her book, How My Brain Works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Special guest tonight, Dr. Barbara Kutuska Haskin. We call her Dr. Barbara.
Barbara.
It's easier for
or
us.
Or Dr. Barb.
Dr. Barb is okay. Dr. Patients call me Dr. Barb.
We want to take a moment to comment on the cover of this book, Dr. Barb, because it is so eye-catching and somewhat dramatic, but at the same time, it feels very inviting. Tell us how the cover came about.
The cover came about from my publisher, and Golden Books. This is a local publisher that is in Santa Fe. And that's what I wanted. I wanted a local publisher. So if there is a problem, I could drive there and have a discussion. But I didn't have problems. So we kind of collaborated. And actually, the cover got an award, Da Vinci Award.
Yeah. In fact, the book overall has won a lot of awards. Yes. And did I hear you say the other day that, she's going to hold up this wonderful flyer, that you're picking up another award tomorrow?
Not for a book, for my professional.
For your professional.
Professional achievement. Okay. Yes, okay. Yes. Professional achievement. But my book got seven awards.
Seven awards. And
yes,
two
international book awards. And 5 National Book Awards. So that was a total surprise for me because this is my first book. And I had no idea. I didn't expect even one award because, as I said, I consider myself a community provider that writes, not the writer that is community provider.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I'm serving my patients. I'm them for them. So, in Albuquerque for over 30 years. I didn't expect it at all because I said I didn't consider myself a writer. So right now I don't know because I write for Psychology Today every month and I have over 200,000 views. So I probably know how to write.
Well, we think so. What made you think you wanted to write the book though?
So
basically my patients always were telling me, you know so much, you need to write a book. So, what was actually my main intention was to let people know that service is available because I had many patients that came to me during these years. And when they came, they heard about my practice, like a word of mouth, and they came to me. And when they figured out people who were struggling with brain problems for years, traumatic brain injury, sport concussions, strokes, you know, any kind of cognitive problems, ADHD, learning disabilities, they're struggling with these problems for years, especially brain trauma. That is, sometimes it's difficult to recover. Sometimes it's easy because every brain is different. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they would come to me and when I would tell them what I'm doing, they would start crying, literally crying. Tears would come on a desk and they would say, I didn't know you exist. I didn't know you exist. Mm. And I needed to see you 10, 15 years ago, or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I would be much better right now. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because the faster we figure out what is going on, the faster we can start remediation.
Right. Right. we're going to kind of focus on the first half of the book about how the brain works. And I know for me, even your chapter headings and such, I would say that a lot of our listeners, one or more of these things, they might even be questioning themselves right now. A common one is, what's happening with my memory? And that's a big fearful kind of thing for us, especially as we age, is, gosh, I walked in the room and I don't remember why I walked in, or I know your face, but for the life of me, I can't remember your name. Or, you know, we start to see these things or notice these things. And then the next thing we're immediately thinking is, I'm on the road to some form of dementia or something like that. Or maybe you got a promotion at work, and where everything was always smooth for you, all of a sudden it seems like you're not in the groove the way you were. And or you're coping with, you just had an accident and you're coping with the fallout of trauma from an accident. So what I would say is, this book, you may say to yourself right now, you know, I don't have any problem going on with my brain. But she will discover very quickly that it speaks. She speaks to the reader, and you might have family members or somebody that you work with or somebody that you know from a group that you might say, oh my goodness, this is exactly what my friend or my son or my grandchild is dealing with. So some of those topics, like about ADHD, are you able to discover some things about a patient that may have ADHD and then how to move forward?
Yes, so not all attention concentration problems are ADHD, the first important things, okay? And ADHD is a very complex disorder. So it has many faces. Mm-hmm. But attention concentration problem can be caused by many other problems. So you don't have to have necessary ADHD, but you may have attention concentration problem. They are clinical or subclinical. If you don't sleep, you will have problems with concentration. If you are very stressed, you will have problems with concentration. If you are depressed, if you have anxiety, you just came out of COVID, you mm-hmm. will have problems with attention concentration mm-hmm. because COVID is very toxic to the brain and causes problems with many different. That's why we have this long-term COVID. People already recovered from the physical part of it, but haven't recovered from the mental part of it, from the brain. Brain is still struggling, trying to deal with the infection. So also, if you have a medical problems or if you have chronic pain, you will have problems with attention concentration. So we have to figure out, and you have a high anxiety causes attention concentration problems always. Because when your anxiety is high, your performance, when your anxiety goes up, your performance goes down. Mm-hmm. So we first have to figure out, just like in memory, we don't have one memories. We have many different memories. And you may have just problems with verbal memory, but your other memories will be okay. So you can, you know, we will teach you how to compensate. Also, what I'm emphasizing in this book, that memory complaints are not necessary memory problems. So if you think you have memory problems, you may not have memory problems. You have other problems that we figure out when we sit down and do the evaluation. Mm. This is not 15 minutes visit, okay? This is not a 15 minutes doctor's office. No, this is hours of testing. I do usually at least two sessions of testing. Then I do intake. You know, I talk. I get a history, very detailed, and I ask about any history of brain trauma, concussion, about mother's pregnancy, delivery, because we have something like blue baby syndrome that may cause some learning disabilities, and people sometimes they don't know about it. And when I start testing them, I said, you need to talk to your mom.
To your mom? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you need to talk to your mom. And they said, yes, yes, you know, I was a blue baby. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
so yeah. They usually don't cause big problems unless it was, the anoxia was a prolonged period of time, was pretty severe, then even can cause cerebral palsy. But usually it causes some problems, some subtle, some subtle problems with learning, attention, and so on. But we can figure it out. We can figure it out. So basically, as I said, the book is written for people to figure out, okay, if you have a problem, you don't have to have a sleepless night thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen to me? If I'm going to end up like my Uncle Joe or my friend Judy? No, that's, you know, we have one life. We don't need to get ourselves to that point. Mm-hmm. Neuropsychologists are in every community. These services are covered by Medicaid and Medicaid and most insurances. And as I said, we are kind of a rare breed, but we are there in a community. Sometimes you may need to wait a little bit, but you will be seen, and we will check all parts of your brain. So we'll check how you process verbal information, non-verbal information, your speed of processing. Because as we age, the brain usually process information a little slower. So I teach my senior patients to be patient with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient with yourself. Just be patient with yourself. Pace yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and then we check all kinds of memories, attention, concentration, executive functioning. And we also check emotionality, because, of course, depression, anxiety, mood problems, they all affect how your brain works. Because we have one brain. Brain is one. Have many parts, but we are one, body, mind, and spirit. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we nurture all of them.
The book gives some really good sort of stories about, you know, patients with each of the chapters. And there were a couple ones that you covered where one person came in to see you because I think his wife was really thinking of divorcing him and he didn't really understand what was going on. And you did testing and you might have tested both of them, but you discovered something like, it's not that he's not listening. He has a hearing. He's having some hearing challenges, you know? And so it's so interesting to see that when you go through the whole process, that things that you immediately attribute to the brain may be something else. And then it is affecting then depression. It's affecting everything, you know, until it gets the right diagnosis, you know?
Yes. Well, the other story in the book is about, yes, that the wife that wanted to divorce this guy. And when I started working with him, it was clear for me that he had a brain trauma as a child. And he had no idea about it. He had pretty bad brain trauma. So I told him to talk to his mother. And she confessed to him what happened. That he did have she never told him that. But once I said, you need to talk. So he talked about her mom. I said to this doctor, she think I had a brain trauma as a child. And then, then she called me and she was very apologetic. I said, you need to talk to him about it, you know, so he knows why he's having these problems and he's not blaming this on himself. His wife had complained that he doesn't listen to her and that he's lazy. And if you have a brain trauma, you have a problem with attention, concentration, executive functioning. Always, executive functioning always is affected more or less because this is a frontal lobe and it's very sensitive and it's always being damaged first in a way. You know, if you had any kind of brain trauma in any kind of part of your brain, your frontal lobe is also affected. And subcortical structure of your frontal lobe is your emotional regulation, is your singular gyrus. So that's why people after brain trauma have problems with mood regulation and become too aggressive or just had problems with mood regulation. Anyway, so this poor guy just did the the wife wanted him to do a lot of things at home, and he wasn't able to complete it because, you know, if you have executive functioning problem, your planning and organizing is not there. So I explained to her what is going on and that she needs to write down what he needs to do and not give him more than 3 tasks at the same time. Because he won't, because he won't be able to do more. It will be overwhelming to him and he won't do anything.
You know, so, it sounded like for this lady, this is a honeydew list.
The honeydew list.
You know, I can see how you might even tune this out without any problem.
I know. So, but I remember that she, when I explained to her that this is, he's not lazy. He just had pretty severe brain trauma that was never evaluated and he never got any therapy for that. So it's actually really good that he's still functioning. But so she started crying, you know, nobody told me. Yeah. So that's our interesting stories. And, you know, I am full of stories.
I know
you.
And that's why you want the book.
Yes. Every patient is a story.
Yes, of course. We're going to take another very, very quick break for our sponsor, OutWestShop.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the second half of her book, How to Make It Better, Understanding It Better, and Keeping It Healthy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, we will be right back or not. You know what?
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Running for the Writer with our special guest, Archer Barb, and our book, How My Brain Works.
A Guide to Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so that the second part was written to my patients because most of them, even if they are younger and they have history of dementia in the family, they are really scared about it because this is, you know, this is a scary disease, you know, and we still don't know how to, so there is nothing, we don't know how to cure it. We know a little bit right now how to slow down the progression. And there are some medications that work on some people. And some forms of that can be slowed down so the patient can be functional for a longer period of time. And but the rate of progression, as I have to say, is very different in many people. So people ask me, you know, how long we have with mother or whatever. Nobody knows that because that is very, very – nobody can predict it. Because it's kind of a very unusual, very individual. For some people can survive with mild dementia for years, and some progress very fast. So, so we still don't know how to treat it and how to reverse it. So it's pretty a scary concept, unfortunately. So everybody comes to me and said, "Okay, so what I need to do to be able to take care of myself?" And this is a goal for everybody. Everybody, you, me, my patients, you know, we don't want to be a burden for anybody. We want to be able to take care of ourselves for the to the last day of our life. So this writing this book took me, I was writing this book for 3 years because I went through a lot of research. I reviewed a lot of research to figure out, I wanted to give my patients some tangible advice is something that, you know, the research says it works, not that what I think. I sometimes think they write what the research says, but, you know, I just wanted, as I put, there is a lot of reference in this book, 3 pages of references or maybe 4. So I went through a lot of research to make sure that I provide my patients and my readers with real knowledge. So the most important, and I believe in that, is the food is our medicine.
Mm-hmm. You say that, right? The first sentence in the second half of the book is exactly that. The food is our medicine.
Yes. Yeah. So it's very important what we eat. And if we, because we basically are what we eat. So if we try to eat nutritious food, then, you know, this will be something that will be building up our body and allow this body to function well. Now, what I teach my patients to not to be perfectionists. You don't have to be 100% every day. You know, the most important is progress, not perfection. So I teach them, we try to do 80-20 rule, okay? Try to eat 80% of the time, try to eat 80% of the time well. And 20% you have a right, you have a one life, so you have a right to eat what you like. You know, if you like pizza once in a while, it's okay. If you like cheesecake and or tiramisu cake once in a while, it's okay because we only have one life. So, but try to be. And the other thing I teach my patients is, if you had a bad day, for instance, you ate too much of cheesecake, forgive yourself and try to. Don't beat up yourself. That's very, very important. Yes. Don't be guilty about it, okay? Just tell yourself, tomorrow is another day, Scarlett. Like Scarlett. Tomorrow is another day, okay? You can try tomorrow. And possibly if you know you have a good approach, you know, you probably will learn to do this better and better, you know, and find you know, find the food that is, it doesn't make you fat. I mean, doesn't make you unhealthy, and helps you. But you need to figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And so this is a road. This is a journey. You know, because if you put yourself on diet and you hate what you eat, there's no point to do this to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You suggest, as we all kind of know some of the things that you suggest, and then we revisit them and understand that it also impacts brain. It's not just our waistlines. These things all impact brain. You write about organic produce, especially herbs and spices and vegetables. You talk about gut health.
Yes.
And probiotics.
Yes, I brought some from my garden. Look.
Oh, wonderful. I can't wait to see your garden.
Yes. Okay. So because here we are very blessed here because we can have garden most of the year. You know, we like the cold season vegetables like spinach. Spinach comes out in February. If you put it right now, you are going to have it in February. But wait until it's a first frost. So broccoli, kale, that arugula, they all grow, all grow over winter. Yeah. And as long as I have a parsley, you know, Italian parsley and arugula, I'm a happy girl. And they are frost resistant. So, so you know, they can, and all what I teach my patients is it's very easy to grow your own herbs because all herbs are weeds. And that's what their potency comes from. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can survive in any kind of environment, in a poor soil. And, you know, if you don't water them, they are going to survive too. Not in the hot summer like we had last summer, but they do not require any care because they are weeds. Okay.
Yeah. So that must be where dandelions come from.
Yeah, dandelions. Yeah. Jim was very interested in the dandelion comment.
Yeah, I'm
the
out there digging them up and killing them. I didn't realize I had to eat them too.
Yes, no, but don't eat them from the lawn that you fertilized.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because they just if they grow, I have it. I actually cultivate them in a part of my garden. You know, I let them grow there, and they quickly propagate, but I keep them in a special place. I don't let them go out. And the same actually with peppermint. See peppermint?
Okay. Uh-huh, peppermint, yes.
Yes. Yes. Don't put that in a garden. It's worse than dandelions.
Yes, it is.
I'm still trying
to get rid of it.
Yes. But you don't try to get rid of that. Use them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's more and more research right now that says that you can, that it helps with attention concentration.
Yes. And you even suggest tea making. There are some things that you suggest, lemon balm, I think, peppermint. And
yes, peppermint tea is very good. It's actually also good. It's good hot and in cold is very good for cold one for hot summers with little bit of ice. Or you can make hot tea if you are tired at the evening instead of coffee, which will keep you awake. That won't keep you awake, but will pick you up a little bit. And lemon balm is actually from the same family. See, it looks like oversized mint. That's mint, and that is lemon balm. But mint is a stimulant. Lemon balm is a calm. Yes. Okay. So see what you do. Oh, it smells heavenly.
Yeah.
So what you do is do like this. That's my frustration. Yes. And then I inhale it. Yes.
And then inhale it.
Oh my goodness. It smells heavenly.
There are so many wonderful things besides, of course, as we've been talking about, food and you also talk about, of course, sleep, exercise, yoga, and active learning as being very important. You want to just touch a little bit on one?
I'm going to show you calendula.
Okay.
In my garden. This is a very anti-inflammatory stuff.
Okay.
And this is a sage, garden sage.
Sage.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what my mom was making a tea for me when I had any kind of problems with my mouth. It's very inflammatory and calming.
Oh, good to know.
Yes. And this is a rosemary, anti-fungal, anti-cancer, anti-everything anti. And grows very well here. You don't even have to water it much.
Yes.
And put it everywhere. Put it in all your dishes. You can even make rosemary potatoes.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I can talk about it forever. Anyway, we can have a separate show on, how to grow, herbs here and what to do with them. Because that's how I grew up, in Poland. I grew up on herbs and in herbal remedies.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's knowledge that I acquired, from my family and, from my ancestors. So that's why I know about it. Anyway, so the other most important thing, you really need to make time for sleep. And if you have a problem sleeping, you need to figure out what is going on. So the most common problem of sleeping is anxiety. People worry a lot of stuff. So I have some exercises in a book like this before sleep a tea meditation that I kind of came from the Tibetan monks practices. And I kind of adjusted it for our culture and some exercises that you can do to release your worry thoughts on this. So that's what and my patients found it very very helpful. So yes, because you need to understand that you are in charge of what you think. Okay, you are in charge of what you think. So if you think worry thoughts, you can try to figure out what works to change them, to not worry. And if you have a problem with that, it's okay to get some counseling. Our insurance will pay for anxiety, for counseling, for depression. It's nothing bad. It's not a bad thing to get help. Bad thing is not to get
help.
You want
to ask about mindfulness?
No, that's a great
time to ask about mindfulness.
Mindfulness?
Yeah, mindfulness. Do you want to ask her about mindfulness?
What did you say?
Mindfulness also, you spend in both parts of the book. You talk about mindfulness. You want to elaborate a little on that?
Yes. So this is a concept that was developed by Jon Kabat-Zinn. And actually, I put his quote, I started my book with his quote, is, as long as you are breathing, there is more right with you than wrong with you. And I teach my patients that every day above the ground is a great day. So enjoy it. But mindfulness is just to pay attention to what's going on around you. Keep your mind focused on what is important for you, what is positive in your life. And basically enjoy every moment and be conscious in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go for a walk, just try to understand how your body works, what is around you. Like here when we go, you know, we have beautiful blue sky and we can all enjoy that and just concentrate on positive aspect of our being, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And experience this. For instance, if you eat your favorite tiramisu cake, you can take a moment to
savor.
Yes.
Savor and relish and be in that moment. And
Yes. Meditation, spend a lot of time on meditation because we have more and more researchers that in meditation is as good at medication, attention, concentration, and anxiety. So, people think that meditation is to when you clear your mind, and know that you can clear your mind when you are dead on enlightened. Mm-hmm. When you sit down and start breathing, your thoughts will be coming to you, and that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to sit down and start breathing with your abdomen. Have a moment of kind of listening to yourself, to your body, and just concentrate on breathing and just breathing and have a moment of peacefulness with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't
And not think about all the nasty things you got to do tomorrow. Just think about what you're doing right now.
So there's many different forms of meditations, and it doesn't matter which one you do, as long as you take time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay peaceful and calm with yourself and breathe and concentrate on and be grateful, practice gratitude, because there is a more and more and more research. Since I wrote this book, there is more and more research that that says the importance of concentrate on what is positive on yourself, that in your life, on kind of a consciously trying to always be on the sunny side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be that all the time, but the consciously, yes.
Yeah.
Because what the research says is that if you eat right and exercise, but you are depressed and anxious, your brain is not getting enough benefits from what you do. So in order for your brain to take all the benefits, you also have to be consciously on the sunny side of the street.
Mm-hmm. Under active learning, this was interesting. Some of it, most of us might already imagine: brain games, crossword puzzles, word games, reading books.
Yes,
is listed there. Even over, say, magazines, the reading of books. How is that good for your brain? What does your brain like about reading books?
Now, reading is amazing because it's not only works on improving your verbal skills or your comprehension or keeping it healthy, you know, on verbal comprehension, but also, you know, when we read, our imagination goes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we see it. We see, you know, when you read my book, you see my, you know, my herbs and my flowers and everything there. So and it's important for the brain because it's not only the verbal part, but also this imaginary part, you know, that we kind of visualize always.
You know, Our guests last week, Sue Boggio and Mayor Pearl, talked about how important reading fiction is because it creates empathy. And I thought about, as I was reading your book and the active learning piece and about reading books and then leading, going on to mindfulness and gratitude and compassion. And I thought, you know, they talk about how important that, you know, empathy, understanding somebody else's shoes, and how that has to invigorate our brain because it's taking us, our brain out of us, what it knows so well. And it's using that imagination and yeah.
I wrote an article that empathy and compassion is good for your brain. Actually, we have a research about it. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it on my in my blog. Kindness and compassion is good for your brain. Anyway, so first of all, I tell all my seniors to read a book for an hour, at least to read for at least an hour a day. And if they have a, and I ask them to do this exercise. If they have a problem reading, if they don't remember what they read, then try to read for 10, 15 minutes. And then if you still don't remember, read it. So this is a kind of an exercise for your brain. Mm-hmm. Okay, try to stop and try to figure out what did I read about. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem, so reread it. So reading is very good exercise for your brain. And reading fiction or somebody's memories, you know, or biographies, you know, and understanding that everybody goes through the hardship in life, you know. Right. Life is solving problems, you know. It's not whether we are here in the United States or there is somebody in other part of the country. So I figured out that people in all of the world, they have the same problems and speak different
languages. We are so grateful to have you with us tonight, Dr. Barbara. And again, I'm holding up this fabulous book, How My Brain Works, A Guide to Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. Where can our, I'm just looking at the clock, where can our listeners get a hold of your book or get a hold of you? Where should they go?
Okay, so book is on Amazon. I don't send it directly because it's too much hassle. So it's on Amazon. And also there is a direct link on my Facebook. I'm sorry, not Facebook, not my...
on your website?
Yes. So it's www.drkoltuska.com. www.drkoltuska.com. This is my website, and I have over 70 good reviews there. So yeah. I'm so happy that people read that book and it helps them.
Yes,
and it helps them because it's amazing. You know how most of the reviews is the only problem with this book is that I didn't read it earlier.
So Jim has a couple of quotes. One of the ones he had pulled, you've already shared, but Jim, you have a couple of other quotes from the book.
I will say but we're going to read it again. As long as you are breathing, there is more right with you than wrong with you. Our second one is keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see the shadows. It's what the sunflowers do. And that's from Helen Keller.
Yes. And she was amazing. She was amazing.
She was amazing. I agree.
And he has one more.
You young folks out there listening, Google her up if you don't know who she is.
Yeah, so the book is as I said, on Amazon. It's link also on my website. But if you forget everything, you can just go to Dr. Barbara Koltuska and you go there to my to my website. So so it's very easy to, and book has there is paperback, that's important. Paperback is on Kindle and it's an audio book that it's not read, I'm not reading that. I hired a professional book reader to do this, you know, a little bit better than I do. So I, from this review on the Amazon, I noticed that the people are buying both the book and the audio book. So they can listen to that and then can read it. So if you do, if you have a, if I have a listeners right now, they have traumatic brain injury or seniors that have problem with vision and they cannot read books, then we have, there is a very well professional done audiobook.
Wonderful.
Also, also on Amazon, or and also is right now on this.
It's on our website. It's on the bookshop.org page through the Out West Shop website as well. I'm just looking at our time, Dr. Barber. I just want to thank you one more time, and I want to just announce next week's guest, if we just have one more moment, if that's okay. Thank you for being with us, and everyone who's been listening, thank you. Next week's book, we have Gretchen Charrington. She's a return author with her second book, The Butcher, the Embezzler, and the Fall Guy, a family memoir of scandal and greed in the meat industry. And we're excited to have Gretchen back with us. And again, we just thank everybody for tuning in and listening. And we thank you, Dr. Barber, for your time. And Jim, do we have a parting thought?
Thanks, Barb. And every day is a great day out west.
Out west. Keep reading and writing, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.
Listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby G.